It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and... What is, oh, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I knew I couldn't get through the day without messing that up at least once, Ross.
Hey, Jim, just so you know, if you were Andy, I'd be ripping you to shreds right now. But you're the boss, so I didn't notice anything. That was phenomenal, Jim. I did not notice anything. That was terrific. In fact, somehow that was still Andy's fault. I don't know how. But somehow that was still Andy's fault.
I appreciate that. Isn't it the greatest thing in the world to be the guy who signs the checks? It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card. So, anyway, we are going to take your questions now on our Ask Ross segment. Now, we normally send out a 409 tailgate box for the best question. But believe it or not, supply chain limitations are affecting our ability to ship out the prize boxes. So instead, for our winner today, we're going to send them a KSN polo shirt. So Ross, as a proud owner of a couple of those shirts, I'm sure you could attest to their quality, right, sir?
Love the KSN shirt. Well, I wear it every time we come into the studio. I try to wear it. So now everybody can wear what I rock when I come into the studio. Show your support. You know what's cool about having like a KSN shirt is that you will. Like people that see it, if you wear it to a Penn State game or you wear it around, it's like your own special diehard Penn State fan club, right? Like there's a lot of Penn State fans out there, but there's only so many that are diehards that listen to KSN all year round and really take their fandom to the next level. So it's like a club that you're in.
And plus, you're not buying it. You have to earn it. All right.
I love it.
Let's get to our questions. First up is Rob from Columbus, Georgia. Ross, if the 15 spring practices can be rescheduled, what do you think would be ideal for the team? Early summer or just tack it on to the front end of the fall practices? And I think this is the more important part of his question. How do you think Coach James Franklin might rearrange priorities for practice?
So, you know, I don't know. We're talking on March 26th. I don't think anybody really knows when things might get back to some sense of normalcy. I tend to not think that there will be any organized football until training camp. So I guess I would just start with that. I don't really envision them having the opportunity to decide when to have those practices. And I don't think that they would tack them on to the start of training camp. Maybe if things are better in July, maybe they let schools start training camp a week earlier to get a few more practices. But you also don't want to wear the guys out before the season starts. You know, there's something nice about having the practices in March and April, and then they get a time to let their bodies recuperate again before they're banging and hitting again in August. So I don't think it's going to happen either way. But to answer the question, if they did, I would think that you would want to do it in early summer so that there's still some separation between the spring practice schedule that you're allowed to have, however many practices those would be, and training camp in August. I think it'd be better to have some separation between the two. So if they can have that, maybe it's like an NFL-style minicamp, late June, early July, if you will, and then the guys get another month to just work out and get ready for training camp. But you get them at least a couple practices in so they can run through the plays or whatever. To see how it would be different, my guess is, you know, I think Penn State's fortunate that they have a veteran team coming back. And so as a result, they're going to be able to, you know, not have to worry as much as maybe some other schools would be about the install. Now, I do think that they're already having right now meetings where they're going over the scheme, the playbook, and guys are getting mental reps, as they call it. So guys are getting a better idea right now of exactly what it is that they're going to put in for this year with the new system. The one issue is, you know, Kirk Ciarca. You got a new offensive coordinator. So that is an area where Penn State is hurt by this, where otherwise they wouldn't have been if Ricky Ronnie was back. I think when they do start training camp, you know, it's always that fine line about trying to get the guys ready, but also you don't want to overwork them. So I think it might be a situation where the newer guys would get the lion's share of the reps because James Franklin wouldn't want to wear out, you know, the Michael Mennetts of the world before the season starts.
Okay, and James Franklin addressed some of this in his press conference on Wednesday, saying they have multiple plans, and the one thing he pointed out, some teams, especially in the South, did get in some of their spring practice. So if they have to make a ruling, allow more practices, do you allow this team more than that team? So it's a little more complicated. All right, let's move on. Brad from Doylestown. How does Ohio State keep getting commitments and recruiting at such a high level? Most importantly, what can Penn State learn from them and place into action to have that kind of success recruiting?
You know, a lot of recruiting is momentum. And, you know, Penn State has recognized that over the years, where it seems like when they get commits in bunches. And that is exactly what's going on right now with Ohio State. They got off to a really good start, even in Pennsylvania, with getting Kyle McCord and Marvin Harrison Jr. And once you get off to a good start like that, what happens is those players, those guys are the ones then recruiting the other guys and saying, look, we got me, we got him. You got to get on board. You got to be a part of this. And so that's a big part of it. And I think Ohio State knows that a lot of guys sort of want to get their commitments in before the season. And also that, you know, guys that maybe were going to take visits no longer are, and they're utilizing the momentum and those thoughts to get guys to commit now. The only thing I would say about that is, like, we'll see, because I think a lot of those guys are committing without maybe taking all the visits they wanted to. So if things open up and they can take summer visits, that might change. If they can take visits in during the season, that might change a little bit. But, you know, with the signing day being December, if they're not allowed to take visits until the season, well, they're already busy with their seasons. And then you got signing day in December. So I think that's why you've seen Rutgers get a bunch of commits, Ohio State get commits. And, you know, who knows? You know, Penn State might be able to go on a run here of getting guys to commit. But on some level, you know, most of the guys Penn State's talking to and interested in have not committed. And like, the kids are going to commit when they want to commit, right? Like, the kids are going to make the decision when they feel comfortable making the decision. So I don't know that you can try to rush it or force the issue if you're Penn State. And I'm not exactly sure how Ohio State's gotten it done, other than, like I said, momentum and going ahead and having, you know, the current commit, being able to get more guys to commit.
That, I think that momentum is an important point. If you're Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, you've got momentum. All right. Next up is Mark from Murraysville. Hi, Ross. Love the show. Can you explain the different responsibilities and desirable traits of a strong safety and a free safety?
Sure. Good question. And I would tell you that with every passing year, the difference between those two is becoming grayer. So, like, when I played football, right, there was a free safety who was always the guy in the deep middle of the field, always the center fielder, if you will. So he's sort of the last line of defense against the run. You know, he'd be the guy that would make the tackle downfield. Against the pass, he was the center fielder trying to cover a lot of territory. The strong safety was kind of more like a smaller linebacker. A lot of times he was up near the line of scrimmage when you had the extra defender in the box. And then you also had him covering some tight ends and running backs out of the backfield one-on-one. What's happened is they've identified ways to be able to get the strong safety into a matchup that he really struggles with, whether it's against a slot receiver or a really good back out of the backfield or a really good receiving tight end. And so strong safeties are more or less becoming extinct. I mean, you still have them, but you'd much rather have two safeties that can cover and have good coverage skills, because you also don't want to give away where the extra safety will be coming from in the box against the running game. And if you always have a guy that's in the box and always have a guy that's deep middle, it's harder to disguise that for quarterbacks. It's harder to put it in a way so that they can't read before the play what the coverage is going to be. Whereas if both safeties can do both jobs and are equally adept in coverage, then the quarterback and the offensive coordinator don't have as good of an idea or as good of a read on it. So you still might have a guy that's one guy is a little bit better than one at one thing than the other guy, and you use him more in that respect, but you don't have to be doing it all the time like it was back in the day.
All right. This one is from Andy in Falls Church. I'm bringing this up because it kind of relates to the earlier conversation in question. Mel Tucker's considered a great recruiter because of his results at Alabama and Georgia. How much of his success is because of those schools easily attract the recruits versus his own recruiting skills? I guess the question comes down to how important is the recruiter versus the school itself?
The school itself is always going to be the most important. But then, you know, when that's equalized between Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, whatever, then it comes down to the recruiter himself. And so we're going to find out. I mean, we know the level Michigan State's been recruiting at. We're going to find out the level that Mel Tucker is able to recruit at now at Michigan State. Is it better or worse than D'Antonio was? And, you know, I will say this, in his 1 year at Colorado, I thought he did a pretty good job recruiting. So I think he's going to end up being a better recruiter than D'Antonio was. The question is how much better, right? Is it better enough that they're getting guys that Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State want? Or are they still kind of getting the next level guys or the next best guy at those positions as opposed to the really cream of the crop, if you will? It'll be interesting to see how Mel Tucker, no relation, by the way, will be able to do there at Michigan State. A lot of good questions this week. Excellent job, guys.
All right. Well, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, we're going to continue Bob's top 25 player countdown and announce our winner.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.